Welcome to another sparkling edition of The Thought Police with me, Mike Graham, and him,
Kevin O'Sullivan.
And we come to you on the eve, literally, let's face it, of Donald Trump taking over as the 47th President of the United States of America. He's already had a massive effect on international policy. He's already forced Hamas to come to the table. We still don't know really if that Hamas deal is going to work, but we hope that it will. And there's no question that as that fucking old wanker Joe Biden was trying to claim victory for it, there's no question that the Israelis have said, look, Netanyahu met with one of Trump's advisors and he went, OK, we'll do it because of Donald Trump. Yeah, no fucking question.
So Trump, his approach to it is the art of the deal. It really is. He sent his envoy, and he's probably spoken to Netanyahu on the phone as well. And he's basically said, look, you know, if you want any kind of peace settlement, any kind of ceasefire, you know, if you're going to come to a deal, you have to make some compromises. Mm. You've got to be pragmatic about
exactly.
This. And of course, the compromise, I think it's a disappointing compromise, it is that all the hostages don't get let out. Some will remain.
Do you think that's what's going to happen?
Yeah, they're going to drip them out. No, they're not taking them all.
I think the problem is as well that an awful lot of the hostages are actually dead. And the people who know that they've been dead for a long time want to see those dead bodies, you know.
Well, they're saying that I think it's 33 hostages will be released, and also dead ones will be given up as well. 33 hostages doesn't cover them all, so some will still remain, which is why critics say this is not a good deal, and why the Israeli government or the Israeli administration is sort of wavering on it. They're not sure. Right. So we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I hope there is.
I mean, as we speak, the situation is that Hamas, according to Benjamin Netanyahu, have started to throw a spanner in the works and have started to request whether or not Palestinian prisoners should be released. But let's not forget that one of the reasons that October the 7th happened was that fucking scumbag who ran Hamas. You know,
the one that got fucking
threw a stick at the camera and was fucking shot dead. He was actually released by Israel as a Hamas prisoner, as a Palestinian prisoner. Yeah. Two or three years before he plotted to kill all of those Israelis, so you know.
But the Trump effect is what's got us to where we are, and that stupid old fucking fossil, Joe Biden. He gives a press conference in which he calls Hamas Hezbollah.
Yeah, right. Brilliant.
Doesn't even know.
Well done, Joe.
Wrong terrorist group, Joe. And then as he was leaving, someone shouted, was this the Trump effect, Mr. President? And he turned around and goes, is that a joke?
Yeah, you're joking.
No, it's not a fucking joke.
You're the fucking joke.
Yeah. And it was the Trump effect.
Yeah.
You didn't get this deal. Donald got this deal.
Yeah.
And they say he's going to do the fucking same with Ukraine and Russia as well.
Well, isn't it interesting? I mean, only today, and we're talking about Thursday as we record this, you know, suddenly it was announced this morning when I was doing breakfast. Oh, so Keir Starmer has decided to go on a fucking day trip to Kiev, right? I refuse to call it Kiev. You can fuck off with that.
Kiev.
It's Kiev, right? That's what it's known as. And he goes out there dressed as a member of New Order,
I heard you,
unbelievable, right? He looks exactly like them.
New Order.
He does, though. He fucking does. Somebody went, never mind New Order, it's New World Order.
Yeah.
But, you know, what a fucking wanker, right? He goes out there with a fucking T-shirt on, a jacket, trying to look cool, and he says, oh, we're going to enter into a 100-year partnership. Well, I'm sorry, Kevin, but I think that if you're going to do a 100-year partnership with any fucking country, you should at least run it past Parliament. You should at least run it past the fucking electorate. What the fuck is this cunt doing, right? And how much of our money is he pledging to Volodymyr Zelensky, a man who has got at least some very questionable fucking roots, a man who is not to be trusted, and a bloke who, frankly, is running what can only be described as a fucking rogue state.
Yeah, I don't want a fucking...
Sorry.
I don't want a 100-year partnership with Ukraine.
No.
Yeah, fuck off. Not interested.
I don't even want a 100-year partnership with some of the Ukrainian brides that fucking came out to Britain
don't want
in the years recently.
Who wants 100-year deals proposed by that fucking wanker Starmer?
What a cunt.
You know, what is he doing out
there?
What
a fucking twat.
It's a photo op.
Yeah.
Again, these people, these fuckwits ruining our country right now, these socialist extremists.
Oh, how bad is it going to get,
by the way? Do you know what it is? They spent 14 years in the doldrums.
In the wilderness.
Now, when you're in the opposition,
you
don't get much travel.
Right.
When you're in the government, you just call for a plane and you go anywhere you want.
Yeah.
They're like tourists. They're thrilled to be getting on planes and going places. Right. Fucking, what's her name? Droopy Draws. Rachel from China. Last
night. Lamy was in the Middle East.
This is his. Right? I think this is his 22nd foreign trip in 6 months. That's ridiculous. Right. Stay in Britain. And do you know what I fucking
think? I think because of his personal situation. I know that people have questioned me on this, and they keep asking me for specifics. I can't give them to them. But his wife fucking hates him, right? And there's one thing that you can be fucking sure of is that if your wife hates you, stay as far away from her as possible. And the reason he keeps taking these trips, right, is so he doesn't get any shit from his missus, because she is an absolute fucking horror show as well.
Yeah, you mean Victoria Sponger?
Yeah, Lady Victoria Sponger.
Yeah,
she calls herself Lady Victoria. Yeah,
but she's not Lady Victoria. She's Lady Starmer.
Yeah.
If your husband's a knight, you can't use your first name. You have to take your husband's surname. Yeah. So she is not Lady Victoria. She's Lady Starmer,
right.
Known as Queen Vic in Downing Street.
Yeah.
Also Victoria Sponger, because she sticks her nose in the trough. As
and
much
she got the free fucking dresses from Lord Alley.
She's a freebie scrounger. Yeah. Almost as bad.
Wasn't
as
it funny? Because we were playing a video clip of Keir Starmer talking about Dominic Raab and how terrible it was over the Tulip Sadiq situation. He was absolutely having a go at Boris Johnson, saying there's leadership problems here. He should have not even hired him to be a member of his cabinet, and then he should have fired him, but he's accepted his resignation instead, which is exactly what he's done with Tulip Sadiq, right? And the funny thing was that when he made that in 2023, he wasn't wearing any glasses. So I don't know whether he didn't need them or whether he was wearing fucking contact lenses, but at the end of the day, he's now wearing glasses because Lord Alley fucking paid for them.
Yeah, he didn't have any glasses before because nobody would buy him free glasses.
Right.
But yeah, you know, Tulip Sadiq, you know.
That's a good
story. She did not really resign. She was what they say in Parliament, resigned.
Yes.
She was sacked.
Hoist by her own
By the way, she's my fucking MP.
I know that. Yeah, she's also Hampstead and Highgate.
Yeah,
you didn't fucking vote for her, did you? Fuck me.
Labour. Yeah, I really did, yeah. She's also, pop fact, the shortest MP in Parliament.
Is she?
She's 4'11" or
something. So, slightly taller than Sadiq Khan, then.
Yeah. slightly taller than the other Sadiq.
By the way, have you seen that latest manoeuvre from him this particular day? You'll probably be doing it later on in the show. The one member of the London Assembly who's from Reform actually asked a question.
He's good.
He is good.
Yeah.
Because, again, like the MPs, he's making
more noise than the
they would expect to be making. And he asked Sadiq Khan if he would help him or come together with him on a mutual kind of beneficially accessible policy on knife crime, to cut knife crime, right? And do you know what Sadiq Khan said? Sadiq Khan said, I have urged all of my people and anybody else who's not even in the Labour Party never to work with Reform. I mean, what a total and utter arsehole. So he doesn't care about the fucking kids being stabbed. He doesn't care about the 14-year-old being stabbed to death on a Woolwich bus because he's part of a fucking drug gang. He cares about making sure Reform don't get a foothold in anywhere in London. What an absolute fucking travesty.
They're going to have a foothold in running the fucking country first.
Yeah, they fucking are.
You know, and talking of knife crime, Robert Jenrick, the Tory Justice Secretary, former leadership contender, has just written to the BBC, accusing the BBC of fostering and promoting knife crime.
Oh, yes.
And this is over this fucking toe rag murderer.
Oh, yeah.
Who has come out and called himself out of jail.
The drill rapper.
Calling himself a drill rapper. Written a song about killing someone.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
BBC One XR.
It's Radio One Extra.
Yeah.
Isn't it really cool? It's really diverse. Yeah. It's really interesting. You know, he's really pushing the boundaries. Yeah. He's really pushing the boundaries, you know. Give him an award. Give him a mobo.
Yeah, they
fuck
said,
off.
Yeah, so this DJ said, this guy is really good, you know.
Yeah.
Promoting it, right? You look at the lyrics, it's all about killing someone.
Yeah. Right. But it's not just about killing someone. It's about killing a specific person that he killed.
Yeah.
And that's
Jimmy
the problem.
Mizzen.
Jimmy Mizzen, right? So it's even worse than that. I mean, I said this morning. It's one thing to go, you know, let's glorify fucking stabbing people. This is worse than that, because it's glorifying stabbing somebody who actually existed and who is now dead.
Yeah.
Whose family are fucking grieving as a result of this shit, right? Yeah. And the BBC thing is all terribly cool. What a collection of absolute fucking champagne socialist arseholes.
Yeah, exactly. And
fuck off. Sorry.
But this piece of shit killed poor Jimmy Mizzen, who was a gentle giant 16-year-old schoolboy. Yeah. Looks like a nice lad, he really does.
He was a nice lad. He was standing in a bakery queue, waiting to buy some shit, right? And in a very, very bad part of town, this motherfucker comes in and stabs him for no reason.
Well, he chucked a sort of Pyrex dish full of sausages at him. Mm. It hit him in an artery in his neck, and it killed him. And this guy, the DJ who praised him, was called Theo Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
And these little pieces.
I bet you his parents live in Surrey. Yeah, or
this
Sussex
piece
or
of shit.
Right?
It's called Jake Fahey.
Yes.
Now, Jake, there's another thing that infuriated me for this horrible crime, for killing this poor kid, this fucking piece of shit.
Right.
He gets life in prison.
Yeah.
2008.
How is he out now?
He came out last year. He did 15 fucking years. He's still only 35.
That's not life.
He's still only 30 fucking five. He's walking the streets.
How is life not fucking life? If you go in, I don't care how young you are. I was talking to people about this week as well. And apparently, if you get life when you're 19 years old, they take into account the fact that, well, you're very young and you could be rehabilitatable. And so therefore, we'll let you out after about 15 years. No! If it's life, fucking stay there for life. Do not come out. Do not pass go. Do not collect £200. You fucking stay in prison. You fucking scumbag.
And if you listen to this song, that BBC One Extra were playing, it's got lyrics like, you know, you see the life go out of his eyes, you see the soul come out of his mouth, and all this kind of stuff.
Nice.
Now this is what the fucking BBC said. We have strict editorial guidelines before any content is broadcast or posted.
Okay.
Well, you obviously fucking don't,
no,
do you?
Exactly.
Because they've now banned him from the airways now that they've looked at it. And it added to the BBC, the state broadcaster, BBC One Extra does not glamorise violence. Yes, you fucking do.
It sounds like you do, actually.
Yes, you fucking do.
Fucking absolute wankers. The other great BBC story this week was the one at the beginning of the week about the makeup department. I mean, you and I...
£1 million!
The great beneficiaries, it has to be said,
of
an incredible makeup department here at Talk. They've made you and I look more or less presentable. It's a hard hard fucking job.
Yeah.
But, you know, can you imagine our girls, who are two beautiful and wonderful people, Magda and Marta, asking for £1 million fucking quid, right? This is what we are supposed to pay to decorate the likes of Fiona Bruce, what's her name, Sophie
Rainworth and all that.
Various other news readers.
This is just...
This is just... £1 million!
Just the news
just
department.
Just for makeup.
Don't forget, you know, there are a million other departments in the BBC using makeup. So that's just the news department. That's the point about the BBC. It is full of people who have no business acumen. They get 3.7 billion quid a year, every year from us.
Yeah.
And they don't care.
They don't give a shit.
They just spend money.
No, they don't give a shit. The same as our MPs, same as our government, right? You know, when you hear the sound of Rachel Reeves saying, oh, don't worry, we're going to fix the fiscal difficulties in this country. What we're going to do is we're going to make sure that inflation is under control. And this week we learned that inflation has gone down to 2.5%.
From 2.6%.
Nobody believes a fucking word of it, right? I would say to you, without fear or favour, and I wish they could prove me wrong, because they won't and can't, they're fiddling the figures anyway, because everybody fucking knows, right? And this was done by The Sun, a study by The Sun a couple of weeks ago. We are at least facing a 4.5% to 5% rise in food prices. The cost of a sausage roll at Greg's has gone up by 33% in a year. Now, you and I wouldn't notice that, because I sometimes go into Greg's.
I've never been to Greg's.
Well, no, I go to Greg's and I buy sausage rolls for my kids, because they like them, right?
Yeah.
They're fucking teenagers.
I gather they're really good.
They're teenagers. Yeah, they're very good. And you buy a packet of four. I don't know what it fucking costs. I just give them a fucking card, right? But they used to be £1. They're now £1.40. Right? Yeah. That's a fucking massive increase, a 40% increase in the price of a sausage roll. And the ordinary people of this country, the people that listen to our shows, the people who love fucking Talk, and the people who hate the Tories and hate Labour, are facing a massive fucking increase in their cost of living.
Rachel from accounts has fucked
Fuck
this country.
Rachel.
Has fucked this country.
Yeah.
The economy is in big trouble. Rupert Love, who's a brilliant reform UK MP, who's a very, very successful businessman, he made a really interesting point the other day. He says, I look across the chamber.
Yeah.
He said, I look at the Labour front bench. He says, I've seen this look before. Mm. I've seen this look among businessmen who suddenly realise they're not up to their job. Yeah. They suddenly realise they're not competent enough to do what they're supposed to be doing. He said, I can see that look in the faces.
It's very true.
The frightened faces.
He's absolutely right.
They know they're not up to this.
Yeah.
Rachel from Accounts, absolute disgrace. Keir Starmer has no idea what he's fucking doing. This country is in the hands of ideological morons.
Yeah.
It really is.
It absolutely is. But let's talk about the story that nobody wants to talk about, right? Particularly in our sort of neck of the woods, which is all about reform. You and I have been great supporters of reform. I'm not a member of reform. I don't join political parties.
Also, I don't consider it my job to bat for them.
No, I don't.
I like a lot of their policies.
No, but I've been watching a lot of your shows of the last week, okay?
Yeah.
And you've been very critical of them. Or you've certainly
I've had guests
people,
on.
No, but you've had certain... No, but you've also been critical.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not going to, you know, have an argument with you about it. But you're concerned, and certainly other people are concerned, and I'm not just talking about Ben Habib. Other people are concerned that reform is not doing what it should have done and what it says on the tin. And people are accusing Nigel Farage of being, shall we say...
Going mainstream.
Slightly, basically. Not necessarily going mainstream, but sort of tapering off the outside of the...
Swinging left.
I don't agree with you, but that's why I want to talk to you about it. I don't think he's swinging left. I don't think...
What about Shamina Begum, then?
I think that was a mistake, and I think it was... driven by something that Sebastian Gorka said.
Yeah.
I mean, the origin of the whole Shamima Begum
thing
was Sebastian Gorka.
It seems to be American
policy. A pretty good mate of mine. It's not, because Gorka has since dragged away from it.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, yeah. Gorka has said...
He said it in an interview in the Times.
Interview with the Times. Gorka has said he was misquoted by the Times. And actually, he didn't say that. What he did say was that Britain has to take responsibility for some of the people who are currently in fucking ISIS camps. Now, we've already had a load of these
people. I say fuck them.
I say fuck them as well, and you and I are on the same page. But he said, you know, you have to take responsibility for your own citizens and bring them back and fucking punish them. I would rather see them fucking die in a ditch and fucking...
Wander around
the
desert for a while.
Yeah, literally get blown to smithereens. I don't care. But he's walked away from that. I wonder whether Nigel Farage's kind of slightly confused on that is that he thought that he was...
That was American policy and he wanted to be in step with Trump.
And he wants to be
exactly what I thought. But I still think it was a mistake. Also, Charlie Mullins, you know, the Pimlico...
Yeah, you went fucking raging at him.
Well, I like Charlie. He's a nice bloke, but he's a fucking Remainer.
Listen, I got him on...
Interview. He's a Remainer, and he's a fucking... And he's a sort of... He was a COVID jab fanatic.
He was.
This is everything that Reform UK don't stand for. Right. And he says Farage has asked him to stand.
But let me ask you a question.
Well, you can't have a Remainer in Reform UK.
Well, let me ask you a question. Why not? Because if you think about it, why would you have a mono...
Because I hate Remainers.
Okay, we didn't used to, though. But a monolithic...
Well, I don't hate them.
No.
I don't agree with them.
You don't agree with them. But would you consider that if you had to do a deal with some Remainers, you would do it? Why would you say, for example, and this is where I take issue, not with you, but with the people who are criticising Farage, why would you not want a broad church up to a point? I don't mean you should include people who want to fucking rejoin the European Union, because Charlie Mullins hasn't said that. You know, he was a Remainer, so was fucking Liz Truss.
He still
you
says know, Brexit was a disaster.
Yeah, that's fine. But, you know, so was Liz Truss. She was also a Remainer. There were lots of people...
Yeah, but she changed her mind.
She changed her mind.
Charlie hasn't.
Charlie, no. He hasn't changed his mind on
Brexit.
Whether we... No, but he hasn't said we should rejoin. He said that Brexit was a fucking disaster. You know, let's face it. The fucking wankers who carried out Brexit didn't do it right. There's lots of... What I'm saying is there's lots of room for manoeuvre. What I'm saying is I think it's dangerous to try and promote reform as a kind of monolithic, only one thought is possible party. Because a lot of people in reform are not happy, for example, with the fact that Nigel has abandoned Tommy Robinson. They're not happy with the fact that he's abandoned his views on Shamima Begum, if he has done that. They're not happy with the fact that he's keeping some people out of the party, like Ben Habib. I just happen to believe that I'm about success, right? I think that in order for reform to be successful, they have to be led well.
Bigger.
And people say all the time, what we need is a decent leader. Nigel Farage, I think, in my view, is a decent leader. I think we have to be careful that we don't support every sort of ragtag fucking, you know, nutcase who comes along and says, reform isn't doing it right for me. Because in the end, the best hope we've got to get rid of the fucking two-party system is reform.
But I agree. But I think that, by the way, Charlie Mullins, don't get me wrong, he's a lovely guy. I like him as a bloke. I just don't agree with anything he's ever said.
He is a decent.
He's
guy.
A nice bloke. He's yeah. a nice bloke. You know, we can agree or disagree pleasantly. You know, he's the kind of guy.
But why can't he stand for reform?
Well, because he's a fucking Remainer.
Yeah, but he was a Remainer.
And because when he was during the COVID crisis, he said no jab, no job.
Well, what about McMurdoch?
He was a hard line.
What about, you know, the fifth fucking MP who nobody remembers, McMurdoch, whatever his name is, was done for
want to beat up his girlfriend,
right? Can he stand for reform? Of course he fucking can, right? Lee Anderson, who's been accused of all manner of fucking things, yeah. who's been a member of the Labour Party, who's been a member of the fucking Conservative Party, who's now a member of reform, can he not say what he wants? I think you've got to be very careful about saying to people, you can't be part of the program.
I get it, but I think that the reform, and I understand what you're saying, and you know, they do have to become a broader church, I guess. But they've got to be very careful there, because they are, Nigel, you know, talking about Shamima Begum and fucking Tommy Robinson and now Charlie Mullins. He is alienating a lot of their hardcore supporters.
He's alienating some of them, but in the end, he might be attracting more people.
A bigger game plan. Yeah, I get that. But, you know, as I say, it's not my job, nor yours, to bat for Reform
UK. No, I don't do that.
And broadly speaking...
I don't do that.
But broadly speaking, I'm all in favour of them, and I love them as a project, and I love what they stand for.
I love their disruptive capability.
Yeah, absolutely. I love
Lee Anderson's speech at the weekend where he went, you know, Rachel for accounts, and he let everybody fucking laugh, and he went, I hope nobody's filming this. And then he went on about David Lammy, what's an absolute fucking arsehole. I think we're all on the same page. I just think that at the moment we're almost at this kind of crossroads with reform, where we've got the May elections coming up. Nobody's quite sure, apparently, until the end of March, which of those May elections will go ahead, because Labour are being very weird about fucking shutting some of them down. Sussex, for example, where I go at the weekend.
Because they don't fancy losing.
Well, what Labour have done very cleverly, as you would expect, because they're very good at this, at the fucking, you know, the headquarters of, you know, Stalingrad, is that they've said, we've given the opportunity for local councils to opt out of the election process. But of course, guess what? They're all fucking Labour councillors are opting out, so they don't want to get fucking outforced by.
Yeah, and the reason is that they're saying that constituencies will be redrawn.
It's all very boring, but the bottom line is
they're just trying to weasel out.
They're trying to weasel out.
Weasel out of a landslide defeat.
Yes, exactly.
But anyway, but
what I'm saying about reform is that I think they're at a sort of pivotal time, and I think for all those people, I know that a lot of people listen to this podcast, and a lot of people listen to us on talk as well, are supporters of reform. And all I'm saying is I think you've got to be very careful about what you wish for. You know, don't start saying Rupert Lowe's the fucking answer, because he's not. Don't start saying that, you know, Nigel Farage should be removed, because that would be
I don't think that is the case at all.
But Elon Musk started it, didn't he?
Yeah, but...
And the worry is that there are some people out there who think that Nigel Farage has fucking sold out. He hasn't. The only fucking chance reform have got
is him.
With Nigel Farage at the head.
But he's got to be careful. He mustn't go around saying Shamima Begum would be better off. Zia Yousaf, the chairman of Reform UK, subsequent to Nigel saying that, went onto the telly, and he said, you know, the circumstances in Syria have changed.
Mm.
There's a new regime there, and on balance, it is the case that Britain's could be a safer place if she was back here in a British high security prison. What a load of shit.
Leave her
in the fucking desert.
Yeah, leave her in the desert to fucking die.
Yeah, right? So they've got to be careful with that sort of stuff.
No, I get that. I agree with that. And they will have to learn. But let's not forget, they're a very young party. They're learning the fucking ropes. A lot of people have been critical of Nigel as well, saying that, you know, he's a fucking cult of personality. Doesn't like people disagreeing with him. Ben Habib, who you talk to on a regular basis, as I do, you know, is not happy. But a lot of people again say to Ben, shut the fuck up. Stop fucking everything up. And just fucking get over yourself. Stop pretending that you should be running a party which has clearly lost interest in you. And I would say this to Ben's face, you know, I just think it's damaging. You know, what we need right now is a proper alternative to this cunt Starmer.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I think what we need is reform to be powerful, to be interesting, to be fucking relevant. And I think if you try and take Nigel Farage down right now, it's a bad idea.
But no, he's got to remain as their leader. I mean, people love him. But I think he has to be a little bit careful.
Yeah.
Of course I wish him all the best, but with caveats. Let's talk about America. Just ahead of the inauguration now.
It's going to be great.
And Donald Trump, as we said earlier, already starting to have an effect. So he's going to get into office, right? What do we want to see from him? I want to see the deportation of millions of migrants. And by the way, it was described to me that I said to an American the other day, I said, isn't that going to be fucking difficult?
Mm.
And she said, she said, there's enough low-hanging fruit to deliver the visuals of serious...
Well, so you take a load of fucking...
Yeah, there's loads of migrants.
Criminals.
Yeah, there's criminals. Loads of migrants they can easily...
What do you do? Take them out of...
The criminals, things prisons. Like that. Absolutely.
Take them out of prison.
So he'll do that. I want to see that. I want to see him close the southern borders.
Yeah.
I want to see him cancel all the net zero claptrap.
Brilliant.
I want to see him destroy, annihilate, he's already done wokery, once and for all.
Yeah.
No more shit about trans bollocks.
Yeah.
America goes...
Trans bollocks is a good phrase.
Yeah, America goes back to common sense,
yeah.
The kind of policies that ordinary Americans will appreciate. I think he's going to be sensational.
I think he is. And what I've said continually since he was re-elected is that he's actually a much more considered individual. And what people have forgotten...
With experience, of course.
Yeah, because when he came in 2016, let's face it...
He thought he was going to be the king of America.
It wasn't so much that, but he had a point to prove. He was very angry. He was very kind of, reactive. He wanted.
He didn't understand Washington.
No, he wanted to drain the swamp. He didn't have any friends in Washington. Now, you can see that he's matured.
He understands Washington.
Exactly. You can see him, even from that conversation he was having with Barack Obama, having a laugh about it. And then later when he was asked about it, he went, yeah, we do look pretty friendly. And actually, it's possible to be friends with somebody you don't agree with. He's become an elder statesman in many ways. And I think also he's got more intelligent and more interesting people around him. I think he's going to be a fantastic president. I can't fucking wait, personally. But I can't stop this fucking podcast without saying, have you seen the amount of fucking cunts from the left who have gone absolutely maniacal about me putting out a tweet saying fucking Keir Starmer not being invited to the inauguration is a fucking stain on Britain, right?
We had a brilliant response when some cunt goes, British Prime Minister has ever been invited to an inauguration. You quoted, I think, five times.
Yeah, I did.
They're always getting invited, you daft fuckers.
But the point is that, they can't fucking work it out, right? And they go, nobody knows who British Prime Minister has ever been. And I'm like, yeah, but he's invited Giorgia Meloni. He's invited the head of fucking...
Liz Truss, I think.
He's invited Liz Truss. He's invited the President of Brazil. He's invited the fucking First Minister, Prime Minister of Japan. And I said, surely to God, we should be, as part of the special relationship, part of those world leaders. To be fair, it's one of the first times that world leaders have been invited, because it's been difficult in the past. But the amount of fucking word space...
Well, you're right, they're wrong.
Are you, as usual. And do you know how much the fucking tweet has done? 1.5 million. Right? 1.5 million. Which means I will make quite a few quid because that's what I do on Twitter. And these people are still going. 3 days later, they're going, you're a fucking stupid cunt. You're a typical fucking right winger. You don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
I never said, that he should have been invited because lots of other people appeared. I said that he didn't fucking get invited because fucking Trump clearly doesn't like him.
And who else didn't get invited? The new Washington ambassador for Britain, Lord Peter Mandelson.
Lord Peter Mandelson.
Fucking Trump hates him as well.
Stick it up your arse.
You talk about the special relationship. Trump does not have a special relationship with our extreme socialist wanker government. And the only chance we've got is that he does have an affection for this country because his mother was Scottish.
Yes.
Starmer, and they're fucking it up.
And you know what? Here's a prediction. I don't believe that Trump will put any fucking tariffs on Britain. I just don't think he will.
He will threaten
to do it. He will do everything through Nigel Farage. Keir Starmer will be, as usual, completely denuded, hopeless, useless cunt who has no power because he has no power. And everything that Trump does will benefit Britain, not because of Starmer, but because of Nigel Farage.
One last point we should make, because I love this. So, you know, mysteriously, none of us can work out why. Britain, to be fair, started by the Tories this process, has been desperately trying to give away the Chagos Islands. Which are 14.
Please take them.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's a load of money.
Yeah, we don't want them. All right, 800 million quid a year. All right, then. Right. It's 1,400 miles from Mauritius, these islands are. They're very strategic. Diego Garcia, the airport that America and us use to spy on the Middle East and the Far East.
China's involved in all as well.
Yeah, Mauritius is best mates with China. Anyway. So there was this story earlier this week that they're going to, Starmer and Lammy, fuckwits that they are, were rushing to get the deal through before Trump came in. Then it was announced only yesterday, we're recording this on Thursday, that they'd agreed to wait for Donald Trump's approval.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is going to go, fuck that. Mm. So all this shit about the Chagos Islands, it's not going to happen.
But isn't it funny? And you and I...
Again, the Trump effect. Common sense.
Say that you and I have been in these kinds of jobs over the course of time about, you know, brilliant careers. They can only be described as brilliant. And nobody else...
That's one word for them.
Right? But, you know, how many fucking times, right, have you seen a new editor coming in, right? Or a new boss coming in to what we do now. Or a new fucking, you know, executive coming in. And you go... no, you can't do that. And he goes, well, guess what? I'm fucking doing it. And they just do it.
The good
and
ones.
And all of the good ones, yeah. The bad ones don't do it, and they listen to the fucking drones. You just go, oh, no, we've never done it like that, which is what the BBC sells for. But you've seen it, and I've seen it. People come in. Piers Morgan was a great example. He would come in. He came into News of the World. He's like, well, this is what we're doing now. Came into the Mirror. This is what we're doing now. You know, people
Be
a fucking boss, and you'll be amazed at what people will fucking do. Donald Trump is the same guy. He will come in. On fucking Monday, he will walk from the inauguration ceremony straight into the White House with our good friend Sebastian Gorka, who I'm hoping to go over and see, by the way, now that he's in the fucking White House.
I was surprised about his Shamima Begum, but you're saying he was misquoted.
He says that he was misquoted, so we'll row back on that. But my bottom line is that I now know somebody, and so do you, who's a special advisor to the president in the White House. I'm fucking going over there. I'm going to get a fucking interview with Trump. It's going to be fantastic. But the point is, the bottom line is Trump will just go, he's the sort of guy that when, you know, the civil servant shows up, sorry, Mr. President, that's not how we do it. He's just one of those guys that goes, well, here's how you're fucking doing it now.
Yeah.
And that's how you get success.
The thing is that Starmer and all these traditionalists, they say, you know, Donald Trump is a bad politician. No. I'll tell you what Donald Trump is, and for that matter, Elon Musk. These are the new politicians. This is the new politics. Yeah. No more of this, you know, the right honourable
gentleman. Let's all be nice to each other.
All these effete, cosy formalities.
Wankers.
Donald Trump, Elon Musk, they speak the language of the people.
Yeah.
None of this fucking highfalutin bullshit. So you've got to skip to Donald Trump's beat, not Keir Starmer. Exactly. Simple as fucking that.
And we'll end the podcast on this one fact, story which tickled me this week, and it didn't come in time for us to put it on Plank of the Week. But a French... sort of what they call democratic artistic theatre, which is owned by lots and lots of you know, people who were
lefties
who were part of the theatre community, some fucking
town
in France, right? They decided that they should do a show for the migrants who had come to France, right? And they did a show for the migrants who came to France. It was a free show, and they asked them to come in and witness the French thing. Guess what's happened now? They've gone into bankruptcy. Because the migrants who came in have refused to leave the theatre after 28 days and they're now living there.
Fucking hell! That's showbiz!
You know, fucking that showbiz, you know. The fucking, you know.
That's entertainment, folks! That's all, folks!
Collection of cunts.
That's all.
See you later. Go fucking cunts. See you later.